Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sorry for the delay there, Limitless Wonder. Here's how I think the game's going to go. I think the Browns will have an early charge to them. This is their Super Bowl. They're going to treat it like the Super Bowl. Not that the Browns have ever been to one, so how would they know what a Super Bowl is like?
Well, they've watched.
This will be, you know, the type of game where you can take something away from somebody, your rival. I think they'll actually be up for the game. You might see a Myles Garrett play early, assuming he plays. You'll see a Jameis Winston play early. There'll be some excitement. And then the game will sort of slog down a little bit. The Steelers, I think, will get some more things done in the middle of the field. I think that Arthur Smith quote was very instructive on basically, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, they figured out the moon ball, Russell. So let's start moving the ball around a little bit. Let's have a more diversified pass game, and that needs to include 88, number 88. All right, maybe another receiver, maybe a little more Pickens over the middle. They've hit him a couple times. He's hit him down the seams and stuff, but it's got to be something a little more diversified. Now, the wind, rain, will that affect it? Limits, you're telling me the wind won't be brutally bad, but I also think they're going to run the ball, and I think they're going to run it effectively, and I think because they have so much to play for and the Browns really don't, that the Browns' early energy will wilt. And that the Steelers will take over. That's what I think is going to happen in this game. And the Steelers will pull away and they're going to win the game 23-13. That's what's going to happen tonight. And the other theme is the importance of the game that we've harped on a lot today. And man, if you fancy yourself a legitimate contender here for the Super Bowl, and they better fancy themselves that, then you want that number one seed. You want that precious rest. You want home games. You want your pass rushers to have that extra split second. You don't want to have your offense on a silent count. You want the other guys doing that. You're going to bring in Mahomes or Lamar or Josh Allen or Bo Nix the way he's playing. Any one of these guys. Herbert. Yes, of course. I don't think it's just like, yeah, home away, whatever. If they're playing well, they can beat anybody. No, you want to play at home. And it's all there for you. That's why the take that this is, I'll use the phrase again, a house money game just boggles my mind. I don't care what led up to this. The opportunity's here. And you better be able to turn around quickly and beat a 2-8 broken Browns team with Jameis Winston at quarterback, or you're going to get, deservedly so, some heat. Might be closer than I think, but you find a way to win. Most NFL games are close. If we gave points out for being close, or we said, hey, I'm not going to criticize you that much if the game's close either way, then, man, we'd have a lot less criticism of losing teams, wouldn't we?
I think this is going to be an ugly, sloppy-looking game, at least in the first half. But the Steelers have done a great job only allowing 16 points per game. And in the second half, they have been very, very solid. Arguably the best second half team in all of football outside of that Dallas game when they gave up the game-winning touchdown on fourth down at the goal line. I'm confident that they are going to win this game. Not as confident, actually, as I was last week. Partly because of the weather, the short turnaround, being in Cleveland. There's just a house of horrors up there sometimes. But I think they win it, and I think it's by a final score of 23-17. It is a one-score game in the finish.
We both have the Steelers scoring 23 points, huh?
How about that?
That's fascinating. Let's hit the phone lines. Limits fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And, of course, the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
And on the hotline, we find Michael in Monroeville.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, guys. Great to hear from you. A long-time listener here.
Thanks, man.
So one of the things, like, I was pretty confident over the last couple of weeks about going into this game, but not so much today. You know, I mean, the Steelers are literally 0-7 all time and 0-5 under Coach Tomlin on Thursday night. You know, they haven't won a divisional game. They're 2-8 on the road for Thursday night. So I think Pittsburgh's probably going to pull this off, but I have them 23-20. I think Boz has to kick it at the end. But they do make great second half adjustments. So I think that that's definitely going to help them here. But and just and coincidentally, Myles Garrett can pound sand.
Yeah, he's annoying. He is truly annoying.
Dude, man. I do not like him.
With the stuff that he says. All right. Yeah, the Steelers always have an advantage at kicker, right? So if the game's ugly and it comes down to field goals, you got to like their chances. I can't even remember who the Browns, Dustin Hopkins, what's he up to? He's at 70% limits. That stinks. That's worse than the guy for the Bills. 70%? 14 for 20? That's like a number out of the 70s. I mean, the 1970s. Let's see here. He's missed, he's 1 for 2 from 20 to 29. He's missed between 40 to 49, and he's only 4 of 8 from 50 plus, and he's missed 2 extra points. He stinks, this guy. Limits, where are you? Hang up on that person. This guy stinks, Dustin Hopkins. Who's next?
Let's go to Brian in Brookline.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Here's how I view this game. This is an 8 out of a score of you're a 10. I think we need to punch him in the mouth. The Browns would love nothing more but to ruin our chances. They would love nothing because they have nothing to play for. Absolutely nothing.
Yep.
So if we come out, Joe, and just punch him in the mouth like old Steeler football, like when Foo played, and run it down their throat and just hit the accelerator and run right on them and come right back to Pittsburgh. That's what we need to do.
Survive in advance. And yeah. I think they're going to wear them down physically, energy-wise. This will be a franchise win. One franchise that sort of has the weight of positive powers in its favor. And the other one's the Cleveland Browns. Yeah.
Question. Do you think the stadium is going to have a lot of Steeler fans in it?
That's a great question. Cleveland usually doesn't compared to others. I heard the guys on the PM show talking about different theories. I think the biggest reason for that is that Cleveland's fans are loyal and don't sell their tickets, honestly. Pony was suggesting that there's better destinations. He's right about that. Like if you're a Steeler fan, you know, living in here or Chicago, you don't think, hey, let's go to Cleveland for a game. You want to go to Vegas, right? Or Tampa or LA or, you know, wherever, or Chicago. Nobody thinks of Cleveland. But you would also think that Steeler fans from here, for that game, maybe not on a Thursday night necessarily, but generally for Browns games, would think, yeah, let's go invade their stadium. It's 5 minutes away. I can get to Cleveland faster than Monroeville half the time. But it doesn't happen. Why? I think because Browns fans are very loyal and don't sell their seats
They are. And Tom won't even mention that in the press conference, that they don't expect this to be like Atlanta or Washington or Vegas or anywhere else that they've gone on the road this year. It's going to be a different environment. I think because Browns fans treat those tickets like Steelers fans treat the Ravens tickets, where unless they really can't go to the game, that's the one that you circle on the calendar every year where you make your trips around, plan your tailgates around to go to that game. And that's what it is for the Browns when the Steelers come to town.
Man, I'm looking at Deshaun Watson. It's unreal just how bad he was. And it's such a kick in the gut, it has to be for them to know that literally every other quarterback they've had since he got there, and they spent $230 million fully guaranteed on him, every other guy that they use is better than him. Whether it's Dorian Thompson-Robinson, Joe Flacco, Jacoby Brissett, or now Jameis. And Jameis hasn't exactly been Dan Marino here, but he's averaging, 7 touchdowns in basically the same amount of games to Watson's 5. They both had 3 picks. Deshaun got sacked 33 times, Winston only 12. And Jameis's passer rating is 90.8. The other guy was 79. It's just when you see it in raw numbers and realize just how god-awful he's been since he got there, it's a real embarrassment. It's a franchise wrecker. He was a franchise wrecker, which means that D and Jimmy Haslam wrecked the franchise by selling their souls to sign him. And it's unreal to look at the numbers.
It's the worst trade in football history.
And the worst contract in sports history.
All guaranteed, fully guaranteed. And I mean, remember how many feathers that ruffled in NFL circles when that happened originally?
Yeah, and I bet you the whole league is laughing at the Browns. Well, that's no different than usual, really. But yeah, they especially are now.
Texter, I've been to 2 games in Cleveland. The fans are not very welcoming, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, is that a compliment? I think so.
No. Well, I mean, the Browns fans are basically...
Why would you welcome people in if you're the home team?
I think the point of the texter is that Browns fans probably go out of their way to be annoying and irritate Steelers fans.
Well, maybe some people don't want to make the trip to Cleveland because of that. It's like some Pitt fans going to Mountaineer Field. They have a perception that, you know, bad things could happen, that it's a very hostile environment, rightly or wrongly. That may be the way people feel about Cleveland. Next.
Let's go to Seth in Long Island.
Hey, Seth.
Hey. Hey, guys, good afternoon. Hope all is well, and thanks for taking the call. So a couple things. Being from Long Island, I always get there for at least 1 game every year, and I get to Pittsburgh. That's my destination. I love being there. I love the whole environment, the vibe. So, that's my take on the whole Cleveland thing. I'd rather be in Pittsburgh than see the Steelers there anywhere else. But going to your other caller who quoted all those stats about games, a divisional road game on Thursday night. So I think they're going to break it this time. They're going to break that.
You're breaking up on us.
Phone cut
Sorry
out.
About that. Let's go to the next one.
Let's go to Dan in Sewickley.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'm going to tell what that guy just said. He cut out. It doesn't matter what record we have against the AFC North on Thursday night, 0-5, 0-8, whatever. It's the Browns. They're 2-8. I'm sick of hearing about this sorry franchise having a chance against the Steelers. I went to college in Ohio, and it was in the stretch of where they beat us in the playoffs. And I'd be sitting there, and these Browns fans wouldn't stop hackling me because they think they were the next Super Bowl team. They've always been a sorry franchise. I'm sick of hearing about them, and I pray we go in and beat those sorry guys tonight. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Man, it looked for a while like Cleveland really had it together, didn't it?
Remember? Cleveland was rocking. Cleveland rocks.
A young Baker Mayfield leading them to a playoff win. Kevin Stefanski, their hot coaching prospect, just getting started there. God bless me.
God bless you.
Nick Chubb, a star. Nick Chubb among the top 3 running backs in football. Miles Garrett among the top 3 defensive players in all of football. It looked for all the world like the Cleveland Browns were headed in the right direction while the Steelers were watching, you know, Pouncey retire after that game. We thought Ben might retire. He was definitely on his last legs. That proved to be the last Steeler game, I believe, for Juju. I believe it was for Bud Dupree. I believe it was for at least one or two other offensive linemen. It looked for all the world like one franchise, the arrow was pointed up and the other one down for a while. And that was just going to be the natural way of it. Like, how long can you dominate one team? You know, it's just the other guy's turn for a while. And it didn't happen that way. Thank you, D and Jimmy Haslam. And then the Steelers now appear to have turned it around. And they never sunk as low as the Browns, of course. And there is something to be said for sinking that low if you can take advantage of it, which the Browns never seem to be able to do. But now look at them. Now look at them. The Browns have not won a playoff game since then. They've appeared in one. If I would have told you that that Browns team, oh, limitless wonder, after that game over the next, what's it been, 4 years now? Would appear in just one playoff game in that whole stretch of time and would get blown out in that game with Joe Flacco as your quarterback, you would have told me I was nuts.
I would have never believed you. I thought Baker Mayfield would get them back and maybe win a playoff game, but never what could have transpired.
But here they are, and the truest words ever spoken, and Ron loved to repeat them ad nauseum, the Browns is the Browns. I believe that phrase was coined by the poet Juju Smith Shakespeare. The Browns is the Browns is the Browns is the Browns. And here they are again, a sad sack, pathetic, broken NFL franchise ruined by their own ownership. Next.
Texter, went to Cleveland last year. You're right, not many Steelers fans. Very intimidating tailgate until I met with some of my Cleveland fans. People bark in your face in the parking lot.
Barking lights. Right
barking.
In your face.
Yes, the dog pound.
You should throw them dog treats. Pet them on the head, limits.
Somebody else says no fights.
Scratch their
that
neck.
I saw.
No fights, yeah. I think it's the threat of that. Maybe for some people. I don't know. I can't really speak to it. I've never been in the crowd at Cleveland. I feel like the NFL places I have been, there is always, I think, in a lot of these places, at least in some portions of the tailgates and some portions of the stadium, sort of a hostile undertone, to put it mildly. Have you sensed that?
Yeah, I have. It just seems like maybe there's the hatred. There's a hatred there from Browns
fueled
fans.
With alcohol. Yes.
Yes. A buddy of mine texted me and said that the fans have been miserable and terrible people to him, and he is going to be sitting in the dog pound.
Is he? With a Steeler jersey?
I think so.
What a wonderful man.
Texter also backs up the claim, used to sit in the old dog pound and saw some guy set a Steelers pennant on fire. It used to be insane.
Yeah, I don't think we need to really dig beneath the surface too far to find out why there's not a lot of Steeler fans in Cleveland. I think it comes down to two words, maybe not the ones you're thinking of. It's Cleveland. That's it.
Yeah.
Next.
Cleveland. Let's go to Butch in Glenshaw.
Hello, Butch.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to, get out a comment on the Steelers, just thinking about their actual play and stuff. It's like they always go down, play down to the level of the teams that they're playing. And my adage was that, you play stupid, you lose stupid. And I think that if they don't get greedy in this game, like try and go for the, home run. And
the
all
moon
that
balls.
Sort of stuff.
You don't want to see any moon balls, do you?
No, I do not. I want to see like a Brady-type offense. Run 4 or 5 yards, pass 4 or 5 yards, get down the field, score touchdowns.
I like the way you think. I like the way you think. And it just occurred to me, and I don't know if you heard the comments by Arthur Smith earlier where he basically said, let's cut down on the moon balls here. People have caught on. We got to use other people in parts of the field, is what I heard him say, to paraphrase him. And yes, I think Russell is capable of that. How about, a quick slant route to a running back? Just get the offense moving with bunches of short passes using the middle of the field. It seems like the only running back routes they ever run these days are as an emergency outlet. You know what I mean? So let's get Freiermuth down the seams. Let's get a running back running the little, what would you call it, a Z route? You can picture a Z, can't you?
Maybe a
limits?
Stick route, yeah.
Maybe a stick route.
Or a button hook. Do you ever run button hooks in the backyard on Thanksgiving?
A stick figure. I want to catch people in stride. That's what I want to do. Short passes. I think Russ is very capable of running a quick pass offense. I want to see some of that. I think he's fallen in love with the old moon ball.
Bunch of texters are saying that they are driving up to the game right now. How about that?
That's great. I mean, honestly, it is. And there will be. There's always a Steeler presence, but they ain't taking over the stadium. Why don't any of them call Limits? If you're driving to the game and you're texting Limits, call us. Tell us what is prompting you to go there, whether you have any fears of hostility when you go there at 412-928-9370. Anybody else?
I significantly thought about going to this game, Joe.
You still could.
My buddy Joey. Maybe we should. We thought about it, but ended up opting not to.
Well, you still have time to change your mind.
Maybe we will.
I've gotten to Cleveland in an hour and 40 minutes. Yeah, I went fast that day.
Here's DK in the South Hills.
Hi, DK on Pittsburgh Sports.
Hey, Papa Joe, how we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Congratulations on that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, so you said it best when you said two words, it's Cleveland. Our oldest goes to school in Cleveland, and he's going to be going to the game tonight, obviously, as a Steelers fan. But, yeah, it's Cleveland sums it up.
Well, don't get me wrong on the overall point there. I actually like Cleveland as a city. There are really cool parts of Cleveland. I took my daughter to see Golden State against the Cavs last year. We had a nice time walking around. It's cool. But when I say it's Cleveland, I'm talking about that generally people don't think of it as a tourist destination. And also it includes Browns fans. You know, it includes all the things we're talking about here, that it may not be the most pleasant environment at all, and that contributes to Steeler fans not taking over the stadium. Is he still there? Limits. You got cut off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we went to dinner after his final game. He plays for Case Western up there.
Yeah.
And I actually said, wow, this is actually a nice city. It's nice downtown, and we had a great time. But it is Cleveland.
Yeah,
I think we're gonna go in there. I think we're gonna stronghold the entire game. I'm looking at 24-10 as a total. I'm looking forward to this and righting the ship of these Thursday night stats, et cetera, et cetera. But I did want to get your input on one thing. I put a futures bet in on AFC North winner Steelers, and I have a cash out option. Should I let it ride or should I cash it out?
I'm kind of like your lifeline on Deal or No Deal here. Am I not, Limits?
Yeah.
Do you want to help this man? Would you cash out now or go for a bigger prize?
I think you go for the bigger prize.
Yeah, you go for the bigger prize. They just beat the Ravens.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Plus 1,100 over was the total, and it's a plus 600 cash out. So I think I'm just going to let it ride.
That sounds delicious, and I admire you for that. Thank you for the call. Brian Batko. Remember him, the Batconian mongoose?
Yes, the mongoose.
He's got a little thing here that adds to the importance if you believe in superstitions, as he writes at PostGazette.com today on his scouting report. Every Steelers team to ever reach the Super Bowl, all eight of them, won in Cleveland. Did you hear that, Limits?
One in Cleveland.
All eight. Every Steelers team that has ever gotten to a Super Bowl won in Cleveland.
I never would have guessed that.
That's incorrigible.
No, that'll tell you what happens this year, then.
They better win tonight.
Joe, a couple people going to the game have called in.
Good. Let's hear from one.
Here is Taravon. He's going.
Hey, Taravon.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Why are you going to the game? Are you afraid?
Absolutely not. I went to the game last year at Cleveland. I went to school in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, and I was surrounded by nothing but orange and brown. I was the only guy in black and gold, and it was terrible. So now I'm coming back up with about 10 friends from Pittsburgh, and I'm feeling good that we're going to get a big one tonight.
Well, when you say it was terrible, what would prompt you to try it again? And what do you mean by terrible?
Oh, the fans were horrible.
Meaning what?
Well, obviously you expect banter, but the way they did it was awful.
I also didn't like the fact that they only played rock music in the stadium. It gets kind of annoying come the third quarter.
Are you wearing a Steeler jersey?
I will be wearing George Pickens tonight.
I love that. It sounds like you have a pick. You can pick from a number of jerseys, yes?
Yes, I have. I'm wearing my George Pickens tonight. Last time I went up there, I wore Color Rush TJ Watt. I did bring my Mean Joe Green jersey as well. We're going to see how we're feeling once we get there.
Sounds like you might be feeling quite well by the time the game starts. But yeah. Seriously, though, if it was such a hostile environment, what is enjoyable about that?
Well, I think AFC North football is always going to be a hostile environment. And this year, I'm coming up with Pittsburgh fans instead of all Browns fans. So I think it'll be a different experience for me.
Thank you for calling, sir. Limits, your reaction to that call? You seem to have one.
I liked it. I like that call a lot, and I like the different jerseys in his bag he might choose from, and I like people that take risks and that don't really care about what the environment is going to be up there. Embrace it. Embrace wearing your Steelers gear. Don't be afraid. I like it.
And I like your reaction to it. Let's take one more.
Colton is also going to the game.
Colton, what's up?
Oh, nothing much, man. How are you guys?
I'm good. What is prompting you to go to Cleveland tonight?
Oh, I'm off on a... Thursdays and Fridays, and my friend from work, he's like, let's go to the game. Don't got to take a day off and get to go see the Steelers hopefully kick some butt.
Are you anticipating any hostilities from Browns fans?
Not really. Hopefully it's not too bad.
Now, do you have a Steeler jersey on?
Yeah, I got Hines Ward.
That's a great one. I just wrote about Hines today. Congratulations on that one. You know what his career numbers were against the Browns? I happen to have that handy. He was 21-4 in 25 games against them. 21-4 with 126 catches for 1,490 yards and 10 touchdowns. And he probably lit a bunch of people up on blocks, too. What a jersey. You're my hero today.
Anytime.
Enjoy yourself. Don't get in a fight.
Oh, thank you. Go Steelers.
What happens if a fight starts? Are you in or out?
Oh, depends what my friend does. If he's in, I'm in. If he's out, I'm out.
That's true friendship right there.
Well, what if you're outnumbered? I'd say let him get beat up and run away.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan to me.
All right, thank you. Limits, I ain't sticking around. If my buddy starts a fight... And we're outnumbered, I'm out. If he starts it, he's going to finish it, or they're going to finish him. I'm done.
I want no part of a fight.
Yeah. No. I ain't fighting. No. I mean, a certain situation I had to. I'm around my daughter, and people are becoming physical, you know, and starting to throw punches at me or something. Then you have to, right? You have no choice if you can't get out of it.
Could you imagine if the people that might be in the fight against us are, like, the size of Doran? Like, I flinch when Doran, like, fakes like he's just trying to like scare me.
Yeah. I don't know. That actually happened to me once, and I'm the one who started the fight. Well, I didn't start a fight. I started a little ruckus in the Pink Flamingo.
The Pink Flamingo
in Buffalo. They used to sell you entire cases of beer.
Were they called Pink Flamingos?
No, they were called Old Vienna Ponies, miniature beers. They were called Ponies, so you got a free pass with every one. Get it, Limits?
I get it now, yes.
So you drink these things, and then I said something to somebody or laughed at somebody or something. They became very upset. Next thing you know, we were outside, and they were punching me, and my friend Marshall Reinhardt did stick up for me, and they started punching him, and then I ran. And the next thing I knew, I fell in the middle of the street. The next thing I knew, a huge army boot. Some guy was wearing these giant boots, kicked me right in the face, and I still have a bonded tooth right here. Hear that little tick? That's my tooth.
Very nice.
Have you ever been in an actual fight?
No.
Never?
No, I've gotten like pushed down once, but that was it. But as Joe likes to point out, he's 5'10 and 145 pounds. How could he ever survive a fight?
I got pushed down once. What happened?
Well, yeah, the guy was like a lot bigger than
what
me.
What guy? Tell me the context.
I really
not
wasn't.
Just a random guy who walked up to you and pushed you down.
No, I mean, there were a couple of words said, but that was
where?
Kind of it.
When? A little bit.
Well, I mean, basketball, sometimes there would be some pushing and shoving.
No, this specific incident, what happened?
Well, there was arguments over calls.
In a basketball game?
Yeah, some pushing and shoving went on, and, you know, I kept my balance, but I was caught a little bit off my feet.
You said you got pushed down. That does not indicate keeping your balance. Well, why are you afraid to tell the story?
I didn't fall flat on my behind, but
okay.
I was stumbling a little bit.
Never in school, though?
Footing.
Never a flight out by or a fight out by the flagpole?
The flagpole?
Yeah.
What goes on out by the flagpole?
Fights. Used to.
That's the meeting ground, 2 o'clock, Saturday.
Back,
be there for
back
the fight.
Back when men were
Friday.
Men. And what's his name say in that song?
Boys were boys?
Yeah.
Something like
and
that.
And Groovin' was Groovin'. John Mellencamp. I forget
what's
how the song
tonight?
Goes. Yeah.
But you I got never that had into a broadcast before.
You don't know that saying or that idea?
No, I know
that
the saying.
We're going to fight by the flagpole after school?
No, I've heard that.
Yeah. That used to happen.
Where's the meet point? Can't be on the football field for everyone to watch.
And everyone in school would get all riled up during the day. By the way, we never talked about this. That Tyson-Paul fight sucked.
Disastrous.
I mean, a waste of a night that was.
You knew 3 rounds in that this was just a money grab. And also, Tyson just did not look like he had any energy. You could tell with just the issues that he had with his blood from the prior weeks, months before, that had an issue with him. He looked tired.
He was horrible.
And I know he's 58 years old, but
he didn't even fight.
Maybe he push it just... back further?
Yeah. You could tell, though, that if they both opened up and started punching, he was going to get killed.
Yeah.
That became obvious.
Well, I think Tyson had a real chance in that first round to make an impact on Paul if he could. But Paul is just too quick.
What do I owe you, Limits? Everything?
Yes.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's time to get to Tom Friday's for juicy steaks, meats, and more because it's 1:33 p.m. Our official predictions, game balls next. We'll hand them out before the game. Hope people live up to what we say. Is that right, Limits? Yes, that's what we're going to do. JP Roofing and Siding, what a great time yesterday for a great cause out there, helping women and children in need, the WIN campaign, W-I-N. And Joe was a great host, and he's also great at what he does, and he's been doing it for 43 years, roofing and siding. They've come out to my house a couple different times, and they just simply identified the problem, fixed it. And then I never had to worry about it again. I mean, that's what I want. Like I always say, if I could do this stuff, I would. But I can't. I can barely unclog a toilet, which I was asked to do last week, Limits. Can barely do that, but that's about the extent of it.
Yeah, you and Bob's problems doing household chores.
You live with your parents. Clogged toilet. Who's getting called into action here?
It will not be me.
No?
No. A couple of times it has.
If I were the parents and my kid was at home still living, I'd say... You're number one on the unclogging toilet list.
I do the trash and a lot of other things.
Do you?
Around, yeah. But Mr. Ray Bechtold likes to do a lot of things himself.
He likes to unclog toilets?
I don't think he likes to do it. But my dad is the type of person where if somebody's not going to do it right, he's going to do it himself, no matter what it might be.
I hear that.
My dad, I'd have to ask him all the time, like, hey, do you need me to help out with, like, the leaves or something? And he wants to do, like, everything himself.
Yeah. My wife is the same way.
Yeah.
She wants to do everything herself. 50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn brought to you by Gutter Helmet. Winter's coming. Protect your home with a clog-free gutter solution. 888-5-HELMET or gutterhelmet.com. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm good, Joe. You know, you read that. The sponsorship, and I was thinking yesterday you would think, no, winter's not coming. Today, it's a different feel.
Guess where I'll be by hopefully 10:30 or so tonight.
Mm.
Wrong. Florida.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will.
Is there golf in your future?
There may be. There may be a couple of different things in my future, Jeff. but I will be waking up tomorrow, God willing, and if the crick don't rise, in Florida. Will we be waking up tomorrow with a win, with a Steeler win? Yes?
Yes.
Convincing maybe or ugly?
I think it might be ugly. They've been ugly up there. The wins, the losses, with the exception of the early Browns, or early return of the Browns, it's been, I mean, they've had some struggles up there, even when Cleveland wasn't good. Just been a tough place, and a lot of times it's been, you know, because of weather kind of making it that way.
How do you think Russell Wilson fares tonight? And if he has a rough game like the Baltimore game, then do people start wondering?
Yes, I think they start wondering. But I think there's intangibles with Russell. I mean, even when he hasn't had his best games, they found a way to win. And I don't want to say in spite of him, but I think his leadership is still huge. And, I mean, this could be just a tough game overall. I think we're going to see a ton of running. I think you'll see those jumbo packages. But even with the red zone issues, they're still gaining yards. It's just about at this point, I think we all could say, can we see some more Justin in the red zone? Because what they've been doing just isn't working.
Jeff, do you think the Steelers, we talked a lot about this today, do you think they are going to secure the number one seed in the AFC? And if not, who?
I'm not there yet. You know, Buffalo just beat Kansas City, but, you know, Kansas City was unbeaten. I still think Kansas City's going to be the one. I'm impressed with what Buffalo has done so far, though, this year, because there are a lot of people thinking this could be the year that they slide, and they have not slid. If anything, they've picked up their game. So I would say Kansas City, but Buffalo is playing really good football as well.
Yeah, man. I just feel like tonight's game is really important if they are going to secure the number one seed. How about defense?
Teams that are number one seeds find ways to overcome the adversity of a short week.
Yeah, especially against a 2-8 team that has Jameis Winston playing, right?
Yes.
Defensively, Myles Garrett had some interesting things to say today. I wouldn't take too kindly to them if I were TJ. And I always say, Jeff, you know, people are like, well, guys don't need extra motivation. Well, then how come the greatest athletes in history are always seeking out extra motivation then? I think this helps him.
And we've both heard stories from Josh Miller of how arguably the greatest coach in history was always looking for clips of what other players or even other media were saying about their team. I think this, he doesn't say it a lot. This stuff does fire up TJ Watt. He's going to be really raring to go. And given the Browns tackle situation, I could see, I mean, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say three sack night is doable tonight against Jameis Winston and this Browns offense. And, you know, Miles has said a lot. I have zero respect for Myles Garrett. He's got great game, but what he did to Mason Rudolph and then in the aftermath by trying to claim that he was a racist, like, go jump in the lake, Miles. I mean, you're nowhere near the – you're not the player, and you're nowhere near the man of TJ Watt.
All right, Jeff, enjoy yourself. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Joe. You enjoy yourself.
Appreciate it, man. What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you,
very
Mr. Hester.
Kindly. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's here, the Chevy Red Tag event now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com. High of 40, 58% chance of rain. Limits, you guys hold down the fort tomorrow. I'll talk to you.
Will do. Enjoy the trip, Joe.